Come to me, Jesus is saying, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let's just pick these apart for a few minutes. When you look at a passage, there's three kind of things you want to kind of pull out of it. One is you just want to explain the passage. Okay, so we're going to do that together. The second is you want to apply it. There's something about it. There's probably going to be a point that God's going to reveal to you. You think, okay, that applies to me. But the third is the game changer. The third is that it's called adoration. And it's that by looking at a passage like this, you will think more highly of Jesus as a result of looking this when you leave as compared to when you came. You'll walk away thinking, man, Jesus is greater than I thought he is or he was. I really think he can work in my life. And so your heart will become, your soul will become more filled with the goodness of God. And your mind will start thinking, man, he's trustworthy. I can really trust him. So let's just pick these apart. So let's start back with verse 25. Now, one of the issues, he actually talked to God like he knew him. And again, that ticks some people off. He had a connection with God like nobody else, but he's going to offer that to us. He's the maker of heaven and earth. Again, he's pulling us to himself. And here's what I love. He said, you got to come as little children. And little children, you know, you can just tell them a few things, and frankly, they're going to believe you. You can make it as simple as you want, and they're going to believe you. And where we get in trouble is when we try to make things more complicated. And here Jesus, he's not mincing words. He's not trying to manipulate people. He's just simply presenting himself, come to me. And part of the problem also was religion was a burdensome task. People were getting bent out of shape, burnt out. Man, I got to try to hold it together. I got to try to be a good person. I've got to hold it together. And the weight of that can be crushing over time. It just is. You can try it, but it's gonna crush you. Let's go to the next slide again. Verse 28. He says, come to me. And it's interesting when you also look at a passage, you look at what it's not saying. So he says, come to me. He's a person. He didn't say, hey, come and work for me. Come and try really hard for me. Come and show your worth to me, or come and outperform other people. He didn't say that. He said, come to me, all who labor. Labor means you're tired. And I just love this. I thought, oh man, you guys are going to relate to this. Labor is you're tired from hard work, hard toil. You're just tired. And then the burden, the heavy burden, it's really focusing on those who are loaded down. You're tired from the labor, you're loaded down. And if you apply this to just trying to be a religious person, it makes more sense. Oh, all who try to make themselves look good, to not show any weakness, to try to be a good person, to try to beat the habits that are just eating my lunch. And like for pornography, or it might be obsession with food, or it could be a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. It just seems to be eating your lunch. So come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. And that is rest deep down in your soul. That's something you can't just muster yourself. And then he says, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. The yoke, as probably most of you or many of you understand, it was used with oxen, and they would typically take your veteran ox and put a young ox together, and as they're yoked together, the older ox would be the one that was be leading. And Jesus is saying, hey, take my yoke. My yoke's going to be easier than this religious laden burden. And he says, learn from me. Learning takes time. It takes some time. And he says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. I love this part. Jesus's heart is right here. He's not a taskmaster. He's pulling us towards himself. And out of John 10, he talks about being a good shepherd. I really want to encourage all of you with this statement. Jesus he's better at shepherding us than we are at following him. I don't know about you. That is music to my soul. He's a better shepherd than I am a sheep. His role, his loving heart, is to shepherd his sheep really well. That gentle and lowly, he laid his reputation down. He wasn't throwing his name around. He could have used his power if he wanted. He didn't want to. And he says, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find it. But it's in him. For he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So instead of walking around and again thinking that I've got to hold my life together, man, I'm responsible. It's all about me. I've got to make things happen. I've got to apply to these grad schools. I got to write these papers. I've got to get this internship. I've got to. And if you find yourself saying should a lot in your life, you're probably going to get burned out, because the should is just a killer of a life of freedom in Christ. I'm just kind of curious. If you think of Jesus this way, like, wait a minute, he says that I can actually come to him. And you know what? You don't have to have it all together, which is great. We never will. But he'll give us power and authority in our life. All who labor, you're tired, you're burdened, he'll give you rest. One of the signs that I was really messed up in my life in college was I could not sleep. I was as anxious as you could get, and I just couldn't sleep. There was so much unrest in my soul. And some teammates talked to me about Jesus, and my roommate had just gone through some hard things, and I was going through some really hard things because of really bad decisions I made. And Jesus came after us. He offered himself to us as he's offered himself to you and many of you. And I guess the question would be, is there somebody better than Jesus? You know, if there is, hey, go for it. Give it a shot. But is there somebody better than Jesus? You know, is he really trustworthy? And there's been some tragic things that have happened in our lives or with friends, issues. I would encourage us, challenge us, don't view evil and suffering. Don't let evil and suffering determine how you view God. Because if you do that, we're going to lower who God really is. We're going to bring him down. But if we look at the view of who God is and let that shed light on what's going on, then it's going to elevate our view of God, and it's going to give us more of a sense of peace and rest, because, you know what, I don't understand, but God God is shepherding my soul. He has got my life. I can count on him. And I hope that there's a sense of God is speaking to you through this passage, that he's saying something to your heart. And what is it? So in closing, let me just ask that. Again, I so appreciate a few of you who have shared, but maybe one or two, how do you feel God's speaking to you through this passage right now where you are in your life, like with what's going on?
I mean, I think for me, it's almost a relief for like what's going on with COVID and all, to like know that we can put that on him and not have to carry that burden alone.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, absolutely. About somebody else, what do you feel like, what's God saying to you?
Share something. So this morning I just started a new book called Gentle and Lowly, and it talks about how in Matthew 11, which is what you were talking about, that's the only place where Jesus says I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and really the only time he like ever talks about his heart. And the book is basically, it like outlines just like the way that he can meet sinners with gentleness and lowliness, and what that looks like to be loved by a God who like fully understands. And I don't know. It was just sweet. When I saw it come up, I was like, oh, I love when Jesus does that. But just like challenged me to think more. It's one of the quotes in this book says, it's one thing to know about the doctrines of like the incarnation and the atonement and 100 other vital doctrines, but it's another more searching matter to know his heart for you. And I think this is just challenging me to like lean into what is Jesus' heart for me in the midst of a crazy season.
Yeah. Thank you, Molly. You're hitting right on. Because what we really want, we want to experience God. I mean, that's what we really want. Our soul wants to experience him in a personal way. And when he touches your heart and you respond, and hey, you see a little victory here and a little victory there, it warms your heart. And your heart starts thinking more highly of who God is rather than thinking more of yourself. And then you'll start noticing, hey, love is actually kind of spewing out of your life more. You're thinking, hey, what's going on here? Well, God's really good at that. He's really good at that. Okay, is there somebody else that you just want to share? How do you feel God might be speaking to you? Okay, I appreciate just the interaction. You guys, hey, you talk more through the questions than most people on Zoom, so good job tonight. I want to close with just a brief story in John chapter 5. There was a guy who was invalid for 38 years, and he was sitting at this pool. It was kind of it was close to the temple, but I think with doing some study, it wasn't really what's called a mikveh, which is a pool for cleansing before you go into the temple. So this guy was sitting here, and what it was probably was called Asclepius, which was it's the Greco-Roman kind of healing center. They had about 400 of those in those days. It was kind of like a cultish. And one of the symbols was a snake wrapped around a pole. And the word hygiene and panacea were connected with that, which, you know, the symbol for medicine has the snake. And so there was some kind of thing going on there where people thought, well, if you get close enough to the water and you get put in, you can get healed. Well, Jesus comes along and he looks at this guy and he says to him, okay, this guy's been an invalid for 38 years. He looks at him, he says, do you want to get healed? And you think, what kind of question is that? That's an absolutely great question. And that's the same kind of question that Jesus is asking us. Jesus is saying, do you want me to enter into your life and do a great work in your life? Because some people would say, no, I really don't want Jesus to do that. So the question is, how bad do you want Jesus to really do some big work in your life? And Jesus is saying, hey, you can try a lot of other ways. Go ahead and try it. I've given you freedom. You can go chase the world down. But we've seen in this passage, he says, come to me, all who are, and you knew what that, all who are, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. So how bad do you want Jesus? He's waiting. He's pulling you to himself. It's such an invitation. It's like, I can't believe he would do that. I can't believe the God who made the heavens and the earth would be inviting me and to invite you to come to him. So God bless you. Actually, I wanted to read a blessing over you guys, and I'm going to read it slow. And then Caitlin, you can close. The Lord bless you. Okay, the Lord really wants to bless you and keep you. He really wants to keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Okay, that's so personal. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and that he would be gracious to you. He wants to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. He wants his glory to be over your life, and he wants to give you peace, because he's the only one who can do that. Lord, thank you for this time and for my dear friends over at Wake Forest. And would we just see you in a greater way because of your great word and who Jesus, who you really are. In your name we pray, amen.